Today's daf is Menachos daf Samach Zayin. We continue discussing the Karban Omer. So we learned yesterday on daf Samach Vav that Rava says three. Well, we got through some of the dinim that Rava says. And in fact, let's start again. Omer Rava, about 12, 15 lines before the end of the page. Omer Rava says Rava pshita li de miruach hekdesh poter. Rava says it's pashut that if the smoothing out of the piles of grain were done while it was in the possession of hekdesh, that's going to be poter from maestros. Vafilu Rabbi Akiva lo kamechayev hasam el shlo nitnu maos el tzarich lehen. The only reason Rabbi Akiva is mechayev in our Mishnah. Let's take a step back, remind ourselves what Rabbi Akiva said. In our Mishnah, we learned that you would take three se'in of grain, of barley, in order to make the Karban Omer. They would put it through various processes of sifting multiple times in order to land up with one isaron of really nice barley flour, as nice as barley flour could be, I guess. But if you're left with one isaron from three se'in, it means that you have a lot of other stuff that you're not left with at the end of the day. So what about that other stuff? Is that chayiv in Trumas HaMaestros? So Rabbi Akiva says it is chayiv in Trumas HaMaestros. The question then becomes, why is it chayiv in Trumas HaMaestros? Didn't it belong to Hegdish at the time of the Miruach, at the time that the pile was smoothed out, which is when Trumas HaMaestros chayiv sets in? Didn't it belong to Hegdish at that time? So why is it chayiv in Trumas HaMaestros? So the Gemara had said yesterday that Rabbi Akiva holds, of course, things that are Miruach Hekdesh are pater. This is Rava's Chiddush. Things that are Miruach Hekdesh are definitely pater. Rabbi Akiva holds only the final Isaron actually belongs to Hekdesh. When Hekdesh money went to pay for those three Se'in, it didn't really pay for those three Se'in. It only paid for that final Isaron. Everything else wasn't really in the possession of Hekdesh, and that's why it's Chayiv in Trumas HaMaestros. So that's Rava's first statement, that it's Pashut Miruach Hekdesh is pater. Even Rabbi Akiva, who seems to disagree, because he says all the leftovers after you get the Isaron are going to be chayiv, that's because he holds those leftovers never had a status of Hegdish. Lo nitnu ma'os el tzarech lehen. The Hegdish money only went to pay for that which was needed in the final step, which is the that Isaron of flour. Aval miruach Hegdish bialma poter. But when it comes to miruach Hegdish in general, so that's going to be poter. Of course that's going to be poter if it belongs to Hegdish. That is statement number one that Rava makes. Statement number two, Miruach ha'ovid kochavim tanaihi. If the Miruach, the smoothing out of the pile of grains, was done by, when it was in the possession of a guy, was done by... there's machlokes rishonim exactly what miruach ovid kochav means, whether done by in the possession of a guy or done by a guy. We'll just call it miruach ovid kochav for right now. So miruach ovid kochavim is machlokes tanaim. Detanya tarmin mishal yisrael al shal yisrael umishal ovdik kochavim al shal ovdik kochavim umishal kutim al shal kutim umishal kol al shal kol divra meir rabbi Yehuda. The general rule when it comes to Trumas HaMaestros is that if I got grains from two different places, let's say I got some grain from a guy and some grain from, or wherever, from any two different places, the halacha is I cannot take Trumas HaMaestros on one of the piles to cover both of them unless they're both equally chayiv. If one is chayiv midaraisa and the other is chayiv midrabanan, then I cannot take from one on the other. I would need to take two sets of Trumas HaMaestros. So here we have Ramey and Rabbi Yehuda saying that if I bought some of my grain from a guy and some from a Jew, I could take all the Trumas HaMaestros out of the guy pile and that will cover both piles, or I could take all out of the Jew pile and that will cover both piles. They're all equally chayiv. So Ramey and Rabbi Yehuda clearly holds that Miruach Venovit Kochavim is chayiv in Trumas HaMaestros, just like Miruach of a Jew is chayiv in Trumas HaMaestros. Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Shimon Omrim, but Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Shimon disagree. They say, Tarmin Mishal Yisrael al Shal Yisrael. If I bought from Reuven and I bought from Shimon, I can take Trumas HaMaestros from that which I bought from Reuven to cover even that which I bought from Shimon, because they're both Jews. But Mishal Ovid Chavim al Shal Kuti, Mishal Kuti Mishal Ovid Chavim. Similarly, if I bought from Bob and I bought from John, neither of whom are Jewish, so I can take from one on the other, because they're both only chayiv midrabbanan. Neither of those are chayiv in Trumas midaraisa. Aval lo mishal Yisrael al shalovit chavim. But if I bought from Reuven and I bought from John, who's not a Jew, so then I can't take the trumas from Yisrael from one pile to cover both piles. Lo mishal Yisrael al shalovit chavim shal kutim, lo mishal chavim shal kutim al shal Yisrael, because that's taking minachiyav al pater minapater al achayev. And the rule is apparently according to these Tanaim, Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Shimon, that miruach of an ovid kochavim is pater from trumas amaisos. So Rava's statement number two is that although we discussed that miruach of hegdish according to everybody is pater, when it comes to miruach of an ovid kochavim, machlokes tanaim, whether it's chayv midarais and trumas amaisos or not. Statement number three, not about trumas amaisos, but about a similar topic. Gilgul Hegdish. What about kneading the dough? When it comes to the Chiyuv of Chalas, so Mishas Gilgul Isa, from the moment that you knead the dough, that you mix the flour and the water and knead them together, that's when the Chiyuv sets in. What if it was done while under the ownership of Hegdish? What if the kneading of the dough was done while the grains were owned by Hegdish and it was the Gizbar kneading the dough? So is that going to be Chayiv and Chala? Poter, that is Potter. Ditnan Hikdisha Isasak. We have a Beferisha Mishnah in Chala in the third paragraph of Chala. Hikdisha Isasa. Ad Shalo Gilgala Upad Asa Chayavis. Let's say a person was Makdish their grain, and then they redeem it from Hagdish, and then they need the dough. So then it's Chayiv and Chala, because by the time they needed the dough, it was back in their possession again. Misha Gilgala Upadasa Chayaves. Or let's say I own grain, I need the dough, and then I give it to Hagdish, and then I redeem it from Hagdish. It's still going to be Chayiv, because at the time that I originally needed it, I had not yet given it to Hagdish, it was still in my possession. But Hikdisha Ad Shalo Gilgala V'Gilgala HaGizbar V'Yachar Kach Padasa Pitura. But if I have grains and I do not need the dough, I'm makdish those grains, and it is the gizbar under the auspices of Hegdish that needs the dough, and then I go and I redeem that dough from Hegdish, so then it's going to be pater from Chala, because while it's in the possession of the gizbar, it is definitely pater from Chala. So those are Rava's three dinim. Din number one, miruach done by Hegdish is pater from Trumas Maisros. Din number two, miruach done by Ovid Kochavim is a machlokas tanayim, and din number three, the gilgul of that kneading of a dough done under the auspices of Hegdish is pater from Chala. So the next logical step to discuss is, what about Gilgul done by Noved Kochavim? We discussed Trumas and Maestros in regards to Hegdish, Trumas and Maestros in regards to a guy, and we discussed Gilgul Ha'is in regards to Hegdish. So the fourth thing, the fourth box that needs to be filled in is, what about Gilgul Ha'is? What about kneading dough under the auspices of an Ovid Kochavim? So by Rava, Gilgul Ovid Kochavim Ai. What's the din by Gilgul Ovid Kochavim? So Misnatnan Gershon Nisgayer V'Haisalo Isa Nasa Adshlo Nisgayer Potter Mishanisgayer Chayiv. Suffolk Chayiv. So we have a Mishnah. The Mishnah tells us that a ger that converts and he had dough that was made while he was a guy is pater. So you see that Gilgul Ovid Kochavim is pater. If the dough was made after he converted, well then it's going to be Chayiv, obviously, because he's a Jew at the time that he made the dough. If it's a Suffolk when the dough was kneaded before he was a Jew, after he was a Jew, well, that's Suffolk Daraisa. So Suffolk Daraisa is L'chumra, it's going to be Chayiv. But bottom line is, you see clearly in this Mishnah that done under the auspices of a guy, it's going to be Pater from Chala. Now the question that then becomes, that the Gemara is going to express, is this Mishnah according to everybody? Because if you remember, when it came to Trumas and Maisos under the auspices of a guy, it was a Machlokas Tanaim. So maybe this Mishnah is only going like those Tanaim that say that Trumas and Maisos are Pater when done under the auspices of a guy, like Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Shimon, but not like Ramei Rabbi Yehuda who say that it's Chayp. Or maybe even Ramei Rabbi Yehuda that think by Trumas and Maisos Chayp, for some reason, are going to think by Chala that it's Pater under the auspices of a guy. So says the Gemara, Haman Katanila. Who is the author of this Mishnah? Divrei Akali, Vafilu, is it going according to all four Tanaim? Vafilu Ramei Rabbi Yehuda de Kamechayvi Hassam. Even Ramei Rabbi Yehuda think that Trumas of Maestros, that where the Miruach is done over the under the auspices of a guy, is going to be Chayv and Trumas of Maestros. Patri Hachar is still going to exempt over here by Chala, because Hasam hu dechsiv degancha degancha yisera havi miut achar miut vein miut achar miut al l'rabos afilu av nechavim. Maybe there's a special drasha by Chumas and Maestros where it keeps saying your grain, why did it say twice? So we have a rule, whenever there's a double miut, so degancha seems to apply not of an ovid kachavim, but the double miut tells me that it's al l'rabos, that it comes to include somebody that we would not have otherwise included, so it's including dafka the grain under the control of an ovid kochavim. Aval hacha tre zimni ariso sechem ksiv, but over here it says twice ariso sechem, so chad ariso sechem kidei isaschem, v'chad ariso sechem v'lo isas ovid kochavim v'lo isas hegdish. But over here when it comes to chala, ariso sechem is needed for two separate drushos. One drusha to teach me how much dough you need in order to be chayiv in chala, kidei isaschem, and one drasha to teach me that lo isas ovid kochavim, that an isas ovid kochavim or an isas hegdish is pater from chala, that an isas ovid kochavim is not included in the chiyuv of chala. So that in that way, maybe this mishnah that tells me that kneading of a dough under the control of an ovid kochavim is pater from chala, maybe this mishnah goes even according to Rami Rabbi Yehuda, goes according to all of the shitos in regards to trumas ha'maisos. O dilma, or maybe not. Maybe Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Shimon, Katanila, de Kapatri, Avur Meir, Rabbi Yehuda, Gamri, Rachis, Rachis, Mehasab. Or maybe no, maybe it's subject to the same machlok as Tanayim. That maybe it's only Rabbi Yosef and Rabbi Shimon who say that when the Miruach HaKri by Trumas HaMaisos is done by a guy, it's going to be Pater. So they'll say when the kneading of the dough is done by a guy, it's also Pater from Chala. But maybe Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda think that when the Miruach HaKri is done by a guy, it's going to be Chayiv and Chala. There's going to be chayiv in Shumas HaMaisos, would say over here that it's chayiv in Chala. So we're not sure. Is this subject to the same machlok as Tanayim, or is it not? Is Chala not subject to the same machlok as Tanayim as Shumas HaMaisos? Before we give the answer, let's just discuss for a moment. What do we mean by Miruach Ovid Kochavim? So there is a machlokas Rishonim, three-way machlokas Rishonim, what Miruach Ovid Kochavim means. A significant number of Rishonim, the Ramban, the Rashba, the Ritva, all in Kiddushin Daf Mem Alpha Mem Beis, say that it's not totally in who owns the produce, whether it's owned by a Jew or owned by a guy. It's all totally on who's doing the Maisa HaMiruach. Who's doing the smoothing of the piles? If the Ovid Kochavim is doing the Maisa Miruach, that's what we call Miruach Ovid Kochavim. If it's being done by Yisrael, it's a Jewish worker that's doing the Miruach, that's what we call Miruach Yisrael. That is the Shita of a significant number of Rishonim. The Shita of Rashi in Gittin Daf Mem Zayin Amud Aleph, Dibra Maschel Degancha, is the opposite. That it's not at all dependent on who's doing the Maisa Miruach, it's all dependent on the Bailus of the Peros at the time of the Miruach. Who owns the produce while it's happening? If at the time of the Miruach, the Peros are owned by a Jew, that's called Miruach Yisrael. If at the time of the Miruach the Peros are owned by a non-Jew, that's called Miruach Ovid Kochavim. So on that issue, the Chazon Ish in Demai, Yud Beis, Yud Tes, writes that Yisrael that is Mimareach, the grain, has his grain dealt with in the fields by non-Jewish workers, and therefore the non-Jewish workers are doing the miruach of the grain. So the Chazon Ish says that the shita of the Rambam is that that's called miruach goy, and we're not going to be ma'aser from that on tevua that miruach was done by a Jew. And even b'diavad it's eino masukan. Anyway, but what there is a third possibility though. What's the third possibility? We already had two of the only two possibilities we thought, right? Whether it's in the ownership, that it's dependent on ownership, or it's dependent on who's doing the miruach. So the Merkevas HaMishnah in Trumos, Perek Aleph, Halach Yud Aleph, claims that the Shitas HaRambam is that the Jew needs to be both the owner and the one doing the miruach in order for it to be called Miruach Yisrael. But if the peros belong to a guy, or an Ovid Kochavim is doing the miruach on peros that belong to Yisrael, either way, it's not going to be chayiv in Shumos HaMaisos. That is the Shita of the Rambam. So that's when it comes to Miruach Oved Kochavim. Now, what about Miruach Hekdish? What does Miruach Hekdish mean? Is it subject to the same Machlokas? So the Achronim point out that when it comes to Miruach Hekdish, everyone agrees that Miruach Hekdish means that it's owned by Hekdish, because it's not Shaykh that Hekdish is doing a Maisa. Hekdish is the Ribbono Shel Olam. Gizbar is not Hekdish, he's a guy who works for Hekdish. So by Miruach Hekdish, everyone would agree that this phrase Miruach Hekdish means Miruach while it's owned by Hekdish. The whole Machlokas Rishonim is only what Miruach Ovid Kochavim means. In fact, those Rishonim that say Miruach Ovid Kochavim means while it's owned by a guy bring their raya from the fact that we parallel it with Miruach Hekdish. And Miruach Hekdish obviously means when it's owned by Hekdish. The Shittim Gbetz and the Arzurua also point out that even though when it comes to the Ptur of Miruach Ovid Kochavim, everything is totally, in their opinion, on the Maisa Miruach and not on the ownership of the Peros. Nevertheless, when it comes to the Chiyuv Hafrashas Chala, where there's a Ptur of Gilgal Ovid Kochavim, of someone needing, of a guy needing the dough, that's Pater, by that everyone would agree that it's totally in who's doing the kneading of the dough. Meaning, even those who would say that Miruach Ovid Kochavim is all about who owns the produce, when it comes to Chala, everyone would say it's about who's actually doing the Maisa Gilgal Isa. That if it, the other way around. He says everyone moded that it's not totally on the Maisa Gilgal, that it's totally on who owns it. Why? Because it keeps saying Ariso Sechem. It's totally on the ownership of the dough, not on the Maisa Gilgal, not on the actual kneading of the dough. That's what the Shittim Gvetzes explains, whereas the Gancha seems to imply your Maisa Digun, your act of Digun, might be included in the Gancha, but Ariso Sechem is not about a Maisa. Ariso Sechem is about who owns it. That is the fundamental Machlokes Rishonim. Good. So we have this shaila that's posed. So is this issue of Gilgal Ovid Kochavim subject to the same machlokas as Miruach Ovid Kochavim, same machlokas Tanayim, or perhaps all of the Tanayim would agree, even those who are mechayiv by Miruach Ovid Kochavim would agree by Gilgal Ovid Kochavim that it's pater. So the Gemara says, let's try to figure out an answer. Amar Rava, Yehei Rava da Achzei Bechilma. May the Ribbono Shalom help me see the answer in a dream. So Rabbeinu Gershom points out that's what Rav is praying for over here, that he should see the answer in a dream. Sounds like if you have a shaila in halacha, a dream can be poshet your shaila in halacha. This is a major sugya in Shas. There are gemaras all over the place that seem to contradict each other. There are several sugyas and brachos about the meaning of dreams. Are dreams valuable? Are they not valuable? Is it 1/60th of nevuah, or is it divrei chalomos lamalim v'lamaridin? What are we to make of dreams? So there is a gemara mesech Sanhedrin. The Gemara Masech Sanhedrin Dav Lamed Amud Aleph tells us, Hareshayim Mitztayer Al Moshe Yiniach Lo Aviv. Let's say there's a person who's been thinking about money that his father left him and he can't find where it is. Uba Bala Chalom Va'amar Lo Kach V'Kach Hein V'Makom Ploni Hein Shel Meiser Sheni Hein. He sees in a dream that this money is X amount. It could be found in a given location. The dream tells him exactly what location, and the dream also says, but you should know it's Meister Sheni money, it's not Chulin. So that money can only be spent on food in Yerushalayim. It's very limited, it's very restricted what you could do with that money. The man wakes up in a cold sweat, and he goes, the Gemara says, and he goes to that location where he saw in the dream, and he finds exactly the sum of money he was told in the dream in that exact location. Does he have to assume that it's Maaser Sheni as well? Does he have to assume that that part of the dream was accurate as well? Says the Gemara, Zehaya Maisa Va'amru, Divrei Chalomos Lo Malin V'lo Maridin. Nah, dreams are garbage. You don't have to listen to anything it says in the dream. Aye, but the dream was right about the other stuff. Doesn't matter. The dream doesn't determine the halacha. So in that Gemara, it seems very strongly the dream does not determine the halacha. On the flip side, you have a Gemara Maseches Nedarim. I forget what Dav, I think Dav Ches for some reason that's coming to mind, but you have a Gemara Maseches Nedarim that tells us that Niduhu B'chalom, if a person is put in a Nidui, in some sort of Cherem in a dream, he has to be Choshesh L'Niduyov, he has to worry about that he actually was put in a Nidui, and treat himself as if he was placed in some sort of Nidui, some sort of Cherem. So that's the stira that everyone asks. Rav Asher Weiss in Minchas Hashem Bereishis has a whole piece on this. I think it gives four approaches that that Rishonim and Achronim take to how to answer up the two Gemaras. Let's just take one pashut. One is that Nidoi is an issue of Sakana, because Nidoi really means, whenever we say someone's Purim Chayim, it's not just, oh, he's excommunicated. It means it's a curse that he should die. Because he's so cursed that he should die, we also excommunicate him. We also don't include him as part of the community for a lot of halachas. But really, he's the main thing is that it's a curse that he should die. We have a concept, chamira sakanta me isura, that sakana is more strict than anything else, and therefore the divrei chalamos should be treated like a safek at least. So we're machmir mi safek when it comes to the nidre, but when it comes to the money, so it's not it's a far fetched safek. It's not like a 50-50 safek where it's like a safek to araisa and maaser sheni money. No, it's like, well, we follow the rove. You could follow the rove of dreams or garbage, and therefore you don't have to worry about the maaser sheni money. Another possible approach is that in the situation of the Gemara in Sanhedrin with the Maaser Sheni, the Gemara prefaced it by saying, Haresha haya mitzta'er al ma'al sheniach lo'aviv. He was thinking all day about what happened to this money. And that night he had that dream. Okay, good, now it makes sense why that dream we're not going to pay much attention to, because it's very likely that that dream is a result of not some divine inspiration, but because he was thinking about it all day. So somewhere deep in his subconscious, he was aware of this money, and he had just forgotten about it. So we can assume that the amount and the location of the money was because he was thinking about it all day, and it has nothing to do with divine inspiration, and therefore whatever other parts may have crept into his dream, he's not bound to by the halacha. In the later Achronim, we find it comes up sometimes. There's a whole sefer in Rishonim called Shaz Tshuvos Min HaShemayim. One of the Balei Atosos has a whole sefer of things that he had dreams, and he went up to in his dream he asked different shailos in the Beis Shalmala, and he came down with answers, and when he woke up he wrote down the answers. A whole sefer of the Shaz Tshuvos Min HaShemayim. Rav Reuven Margolios put out an edition of Shaz Tshuvos Min HaShemayim with a big kuntras at the beginning about dreams and about the meaning of dreams. But in the Tshuva Zecher Yehosef, he points out that if you look through the Shas Tshuvos Min HaShemayim, almost every shita that's mentioned, the Shas Tshuvos Min HaShemayim, is nidcha me'alacha. We don't paskin like almost anything there. We don't paskin like Rav Avadya Yosef writes in Yichav Adas. Are you bound to paskin the Shas Tshuvos Min HaShemayim? Are you allowed to even paskin the Shas Tshuvos Min HaShemayim? Should you say lo b'shemayim, you're not allowed to? So Rav Avadya Yosef says, it depends. If it makes sense, you paskin like it. If it doesn't make sense, you don't paskin like it. Meaning, it's no better than any other rabbi saying something. It's treated like anything else. It's treated like any other daya in halacha. It doesn't take on any elevated status. And that really explains our Gemara. He was saying, let me see in a dream something that makes sense. Not that divine inspiration, and therefore, even if it makes no sense whatsoever, I'm going to accept it. Let me see in a dream how to be poshate this shaila. If I think of a raya while dreaming, so gvaldik, that would work too. Perhaps the most famous source on dreams is the Nodeb Yehuda. Nodeb Yehuda was asked about a certain type of fish, the kashrus of a certain type of fish. And he was told that the Rabbeinu Ephraim, I think it was Rabbeinu Ephraim, one of the Rishonim, had a dream. He was makel with that type of fish, and then he had a dream that night. He went to sleep, and in his dream he saw that they were serving him something that was mamish glot treif. They were serving him like chazer or something. And he said, I don't eat that. I'm a rabbi. I can't eat that. And they told him, why? It's no different than the fish that you were just makel with. So he woke up and he said, ah, I changed my psak. It can't be that, you know, I must have made a mistake. So the Nodibuda says, that's ridiculous. Why would you change your psak based on something like that? He says, he changed his psak because he really wasn't so sure about the psak in the first place. And that's the only reason he had that dream. Meaning, he only had that dream because he obviously had sfeikos about that psak in the first place. Now, this is very big into the idea that divrei chalomos lo malin velo maridin. But anyway, so Rav Davin said he should have divine inspiration in a dream. He should be able to see what the halacha is. So Hadam Rav says, you know what? I don't even need a dream. I got it. I know the answer. Mandi amar mirochav v'chavim poter gilgul v'chavim poter. Mandi amar mirochav v'chavim meno poter gilgul v'chavim. It's completely totally in that same machlokas tanaim that we had before. Whether miruach done by an ovid chavim is pater from maisus or not is the same issue as whether the gilgula isa done by an ovid chavim is pater from chala or not. So the Gemara is going to challenge Rava from two different brisos. Number one, esver of papa le Rava. Ovid Chavim Shehifrish Petar Chamar Vichala. If an Ovid Chavim separates a Petar Chamar is a firstborn donkey, has to be redeemed for a sheep, and that sheep goes to a Kohen. So let's say the Ovid Chavim exchange is Mafrish, sets aside a sheep that's a Petar Chamar, or he's Mafrish Chala. Modiyim also shu putter, we let him know that it's putter. The chalasa ne'echelas lazarim, and his chala is meaning since he was putter at the times he was a guy, the chala can be eaten even by zarim. It does not have a status of chala. Upetar chamar gozes va'ovibo, and if it was that petar chamar, you could do anything you want with it. It has none of the restrictions that you would normally have on petar chamar. So what do you see? That according to this brisa, apparently the gilgal of an ovid kochavim is completely potter, and yet this same brisa implies hatrumaso asura, that it's only about the chal and the petar chamar. But truma done by a guy, truma when the miruach was done by a guy, would be asur. Whatever din of truma. So wait a second. Vahaitana dami miruach ovid chavim eino poter. V'gilgal ovid chavim poter. Rava wanted to say that whatever you hold about miruach ovid chavim, you can hold the same thing about gilgal ovid chavim. Over here we have a brisa that says explicitly that gilgal ovid chavim is poter, and implicitly that miruach ovid kochavim is chayiv. So how can you, Rava, say that the two are dependent upon each other? That is question number one on Rava. Question number two on Rava, va'od, esvir ravina l'Rava, chalas ovid kochavim ba'aretz, utrumaso b'chutz la'aretz. Let's say a guy separates chala in Eretz Yisrael, or truma in chutz la'aretz. There are certain areas of chutz la'aretz that are chayiv in truma, midrabanan, midaraisa, truma is only in Eretz Yisrael. Certain areas of chutz la'aretz are only chayiv in truma, midrabanan. In either of those cases, modino so shu pater, chalas ne'chal zar, utrumaso enim edama'as. We let him know that his chala is not chala, and his truma is not truma. The chala can be eaten by a non-kohen, the truma obviously could also be eaten by non-kohen, and it's not midamas. It doesn't aser in mixtures. Normally, truma, when it gets mixed in with anything that doesn't have a 100-to-1 ratio to be mevatel, it is going to aser the whole taroves. So there's no such halacha by such truma of chutz la'aretz taken by a guy. Why does it give an example of trumas chutz la'aretz? Why not trumas aretz Yisrael? Elamite must be hatrumaso ba'aretz asura umidamas, that truma in Eretz Yisrael, even though the miruach was done by a guy, if it's in Eretz Yisrael, it is going to be aser. It is going to cause dimua. So again, another kashan rava. V'haytan adamer miruach ovid chavim eino poter. You have this tana that implicitly, pretty clearly implies that miruach done by ovid chavim is not going to be exempt. It is going to be chayiv. And Gilgal Ovid Chavim Poter, but it holds that Gilgal Ovid Isa, that the kneading of dough done by Ovid Chavim is Poter from Chala. So that's the double Kasha on Rava. So says the Gemara to answer up for Rava, Midrabanan Gzeira Mishum Bali Kisim. Now, you're right, that Truma done by Ovid Chavim, it's implied over here, is going to be Truma. That is not a Din Da'oraisa. That is a Din Midrabanan. Meaning, whichever Tanaim hold on a Da'oraisa level, Miruach Ovid Chavim is Pater, hold that on a Da'oraisa level, Gilgal Ovid Chavim is Pater. Whatever Tanaim hold on a Da'oraisa level, Miruach Ovid Chavim is Chayiv, will hold on a Da'oraisa level, Gilgal Ovid Chavim is Chayiv. Over here, these brisos are both assuming, like the Shitos that say Pater, like Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Shimon who say that both Miruach and Gilgal of Ovid Chavim are Pater. Why does it imply that by the Miruach that it's Chayiv? That's only Midrabanan. Why would the Rabban make such a din that miruach done by Ovid Chavim, when Ovid Chavim smooths out the grain, finishes up the processes of the grains in the field? Why would the Rabban make such a din that it's chayiv in truma? So the Gemara explains because of bali kisim. Bali kisim means people who have pockets. So what in the world does that mean? What are these bali kisim? Rashi gives two pshatim. Number one, ashirim shalok and tvua mechamarim. These are rich people who buy grain from salesmen. If he's going to buy his grain from a guy, and we're going to say that it's pater, He's going to come to believe that even if he buys from a Jewish merchant, it's also going to be potter, and that is simply not the case. So that's the gzera. Lishna achrina, Rashi says, another possibility what the gzera is about, mishum balikisin sheishlan karkos harbe. We're talking about people who own a lot of land. We're not talking about rich people who are buying a finished product, where if they buy it from a guy, it should be okay. They buy it from a Jew, it shouldn't, and so that you don't confuse them, we're going to make them all chayiv. No, we're talking about rich people who own a lot of land. V'chasim al rov maestros. So if you own a lot of land, you're going to have to give a lot of maestros. Truma chitachas pateres kol akri. You want to be stingy about truma, you can be stingy about truma. Maestros is a fixed percentage. There's no way you could be stingy about that. It's 10%. So 10% of a lot is a lot. So v'yiknu lov v'yichavim. So what are they going to do? We're afraid that they're going to do a harama. They're going to be makna all of their grains to an ovid kochavim. The amrichum of the kochavim, and the ovid kochavim will be mimareach those grains while it's in his possession. Mafkle mimaiser, and then they'll get around the maiser problem, the maiser chiyuv, the mitzvah of hafrashas maiser. So in order to avoid people pulling off such shtick, we make a gzeira that giving it to a guy doesn't help. So frek the gemara. Well, if you're afraid of people pulling shtick, they could do the same shtick by challah, not by being makne to an ovid kochavim, but a very simple solution by challah. We all know that there's a shear of how much dough you need to make in order for the dough to be chayiv in challah. So if people wanted to get around the chayiv of challah, they have an easy way to get around the chayiv of challah also. They could just make smaller doughs. So we should make the same gzeirim shumbali kisin, that people who have a lot of grain to make dough out of might try to get around that chiyuv. So we should come up with some gzeira over there. Va'od, and furthermore, there are other ways to get around truma. You don't need to rely on being makne to a guy to get around truma. All this gzeira closes up is that one loophole. There's still plenty of other loopholes to get around truma. In order to understand the other loopholes, it's important to realize that in order for something, for peiros, to be chayv in trumas or maestros, there are three conditions that must be met. Number one, it has to be magia la onas maestros, that it has to be grown to the point where it has a shame ochel, where it's considered a full-fledged food, where it's reached the stage of chayv maestros. Number two, it has to be gemar malachton, meaning you have to do everything that needs to be done with it in the field. That's what by grain we call the miruach. We keep on referring to the miruach. Miruach is just the gemar malacha of grain. It's after you pile it in heaping piles, you even out, you smooth out the piles. That's the gemar malacha. We learn that from the fact that it says reishis degancha. And number three, and this is what's going to be critical now, you need something that's called ri'iyas pnei habayis. We learn that from the pasuk bi'arti hakodesh min habayis, that only if it went into the house derech shar, or derech pesach, it went into the house through a normal door, then it has ri'iyas pnei habayis, it's chayvus and trumas and maestros. But if it goes in derech gagin, derech karfifos, you bring it in through the roof, through some back way, not through a normal door, it's not going to be chayv midaraisa in trumas and maestros. That is the halacha. So says the Gemara, if you want to get around the trumas and maestros problem, so all we did was close up one loophole of being able to be makne to a guy. Va'o trumanami after David alakad Rabbi Oshia. You might just do like Rabbi Oshia if you want to get around the problem. Dam Rabbi Oshia, maru madam al tvua. So umachnisa b'motz shala. A person could do a harama with his grain and bring it into the house while it's still in its shell. Kedeshate be'emaso ocheles upturim in a meiser. So that his animal could eat from it and it's going to be putter from Meiser. So what does Mikadesh say about Behemoso Ochelas? So that makes it sound like only Behemoth is allowed to eat from it when you do this. So it's not going to help you all that much. So Rashi says, yeah, Enochinami, they only allowed when you bring it in the Motz Shela, when you bring it in the shell, Achilas Be and Achilas Arai, Achilas Adam is also Midrabanan, because we're afraid it's going to lead to Achilas Keva. So it's Taka only Mutter for Behemoth. Tosos and Shittim Kvetas quote from the Rabbeinu Ephraim that they only asked Achilas Keva before the Meruach, but it could still when Meruach is still a possibility in the future. But if you bring it into the bayis in a way that it's in the moats where you're never going to have a Meruach al Pnei Asadeh, you're never going to be able to have the Chiyuv set in, then there's no Isser even for Achilas Adam. Just an expression we say, Kedesh Tei Behemah, so it has nothing to do with Behemah. Anyone is really allowed to eat needed. But either way, this is a way around the chiyuv of trumos umaisus. Inami da'ela derech gagos v'derech chafifos. So one way to do it is by not having a gemar malacha. The other way to do it is bring it derech gagos, derech chafifos. Don't have the re'ias p'nei abayis. So you can get around requirement number two or requirement number three, and then you're not going to be chayiv in trumos umaisus anyway. So we never close those loopholes. Why do we make a gzeira about those things? We only made a gzeira about that you might be makne to a guy. Says the Gemara, now, when it comes to bringing it in the shells or bringing it through derech gagos, that's embarrassing. So it's a very public kind of thing, and it's embarrassing to make it so obvious that you're blatantly trying to get around trumas maestros. But over here, it's not such a zila b'milsa. The question is, what does over here mean? So which question are we coming to answer? Are we coming to answer the question of there are other ways around trumas maestros, or are we coming to answer the question of isn't there a way around challah that we didn't address, which is to bake smaller portions? So the way Rashi understands it is hacha gabe challah, that we're answering the challah issue, that hacha gabe challah hapachas mechameshas riven va'od. So that's a private thing, and no one's going to know about it. So therefore, we didn't make any such gzeros. If according to Rashi l'chora, we're answering both questions. We're saying the hasam is referring to bringing it derech gagos by the trumas and maestros, and bringing it in the husks, in the shells, into the house, so that you avoid the miruach issue. You don't have gemar malacha. That's a very public way. And implicit in that is that being makna to an oved kochavim is not so public, so we needed to make a gzeira on that. And we're also answering that by the challah, we're not worried by the challah that it's going to be a problem, because it's not such a zilzal anyway. It's not such a big deal if you taka do that. If you make challah in small portions, we don't think it's such a zilzal of the mitzvah to do it in that way, because it's not such a public demonstration of the avera. So it seems like, according to Rashi, we're trying to answer both of the questions at the same time. There is a suffix raised in the Achronim. The Afikei Yam raises the following suffix. Let's say Machlokes Achronim about the following. Let's say a person brings his tevua in. He brings his grain into the house in the husks, and he does the miruach while it's in the house. And then he brings it out of the house and brings it into another house in the normal way, through Derech Pesach. So now it had the miruach before it went into the second house. Do we assume that it's nikva min haTorah b'maisor or not? That it's chayiv, because it went into the second house and it re'as b'nei abayis after a miruach, why shouldn't it be chayiv? What's the other tzad? The other tzad is to say, and the Shagas Aryeh assumes this way, is that no, the first re'as b'nei abayis is what the determinant. And at the first re'as b'nei abayis, it didn't have a re'as p'nei abayis. At the first opportunity for re'as p'nei abayis, it didn't have a re'as p'nei abayis, because it was in the husks, it was in the shells, and therefore it's going to be potter. So the Afikei Yam says there's also a suffix about the following case. Let's say a person brings his peros in derech gagin karfifos, where it's not chayiv maisos, brings it in through the roof, and then he takes them out, and he brings them into another house, derech ha-pesach. So is that the same suffix? Is that the same issue? So he said, do we say that it's similar to the previous issue where you bring up in Motshala, where we say that since at the time of Ries Pnei Abayis, the Chiv wasn't Chal, so it's not going to be Chal later on? Or do we say, no, those are two different cases. Over there, where there was Ries Pnei Abayis, but it was just before the Miruach, so and the Derech is bringing it after the Miruach, so the Chiv was not Chal then, and therefore it's not going to be Chal later on. But over here, when it's Derech, it never had a Re'ias P'nei Abayis. Re'ias P'nei Abayis means it came through the front door. So maybe if it never had a Re'ias P'nei Abayis yet, so a future Re'ias P'nei Abayis can be Koveya Achiv. Those are the two Sveikos in the acronym, so the Afikei Yam is not sure if the two Sveikos are Tali Zebazeh or that they are independent of each other. Okay, let's see the next mission. So the next mission continues in the process of the bringing of the Korban Omer. Where did we leave off the process? They had whittled down the three Se'in into one sorin of grain. They had toasted it in these either directly on fire or in these perforated tubes. We learned yesterday how they toasted it. Then they spread it out on the floor of the Azara. So fine. So that's where we left off. They let the wind blow in the Azara, and then they ground it up a little bit into flour. They had this one Yisaron that was left. So now Balal Yisaron, they got the Yisaron, Nosin of Shmana Ulvanaso. They would put the Shemin and Levona in the Kli. Now both Shittim Gvetzes and Rashi change the gears over here. They take out the word Alav, because you don't put the Shemin and Levona on top of the flour. You put the Shemin and Levona in the Kli first, and then you put the flour on top of it. So the Shinung Betza says, what is it? Lo garsinan alav in Oskimel. Matan Shemin, Sharei Matan Shemin hitchila l'solas. Matan Shemin comes before the solas. And Rashi says the same thing, that the derech of all menachos is you put Shemin tchila b'kli, first the Shemin, then the solas, then afterwards you're going to be yotzeik ala Shemin, you're going to put more Shemin, and then you're going to do a belila. So that's what you're doing over here. You put the Shemin and Levona in first, then the flour, then yotzak uvalal. Then you put more Shemin in, and you do a belila. Tosus points out, yeah, but there's a third requirement of Shemin also. After you do the Belila, you're supposed to add more Shemin. So Tosus says, that's what Yatsak is referring to, that third placement of Shemin. So really what it is that Nosanov Sheminol Vanaso, you put the Shemin in first, then you put the flour, then you put more Shemin and do the Belila, that's Uvalal, and then you do a third placement of Shemin, which is Yatsak. Tosus just points out, Yatsak Uvalal is out of order. Okay, Hinefihigish, then you do the waving as we discussed in all the different directions, and you do the Hagasha, the bringing close to the Mizbeach. Komets vihiktir, you take the kmitza and you maktir that komets. Vashar nechal kohanim, and whatever's left over can be eaten by the kohanim. Period. That's part one of the Mishnah. Part two of the Mishnah, Mishakarav Omer, after the Korban Omer was brought, Yotzin Motzin Shuk Yerushalayim Shum Mali Kemach Kali Shalom Baratzon Chacham Divrei Meir. Rameir says the Chacham were not happy about the fact that immediately after the Korban Omer, you could walk out into the marketplace of Yerushalayim and find new grains all over the place, ready to be sold. Because the Chacham were concerned, they made a gezeira that you're not allowed to deal with new grains and work with new grains until the Korban Omer is brought, lest while you're working with it, you'll come to eat it. Now, can't miraculously just show up in the stores the second the Korban Omer is finished. Obviously, people were working with it before the Korban Omer was finished, and that upset the Chacham, according to Rameir. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, the Chacham were okay with that. That's fine. They never made such a gzeira. So, fact the Gemara, Rabbi Yehuda doesn't make such gzeiras. Rabbi Yehuda's not worried that if you deal with things before they're mutter to eat, or while they're usher to eat, that you're going to come to eat from it. Rabbi Yehuda holds that the latest time you're allowed to do bedikas chametz is while chametz is still mutter. Once you get halfway through the day on Erev Pesach, chametz is asur. Don't do bedikas chametz even if you haven't done it yet. The chametz say, nah, if you lo badak kodem moed, you bodek besoch moed. You could be bodek even after 6 hours of the day, according to Tosfos, even during Yontif itself. According to Tosfos, the way Tosfos understands the chametz, you could be bodek. But Rabbi Yehuda says you're not allowed to be bodek during that time that it's asur, because we're afraid you can come to eat it. So why by the grains does he allow you to deal with the chadash? Isn't he concerned you might come to eat it? Amarabba shayni chadash mitok shlo yitartalo elay dekituf zacharu. By chadash it's going to be different, since we only allow him to harvest it in a certain way, in a certain unusual manner. He's always going to remember that he's not allowed to eat it. But when it comes to chametz, there's nothing that's there to remind him that he's not allowed to eat it. Okay, we'll pick up again with that discussion tomorrow. Thank you.